Warning. DC on CW contains adult language and discussions. If you're easily offended, do not continue to listen.
I love you.
My name is Oliver Queen.
You died. I went to your funeral.
The city didn't save me.
That was Rip. This is John Constantine.
That's us. I'm the future.
Because you can inspire me.
My name is Barry Allen.
Oh, doubtful, mate. You see, I am an accomplished warlock, an expert of the occult, and a master of exorcism.
You people become a team.
Hey, cuz.
It's good to see you.
This looks like a job for the both of us.
None of you are heroes. You're legends.
What is up, guys? Welcome. You are listening to DC on CW, the Flash Edition on Rayman Digital. If you're listening from your desktop, download the Rayman Digital app. That's on the iTunes App Store and the Google Play Store. Search Rayman Digital. You can also find us on demand on iTunes and Stitcher. Search DC on CW. We are also live on Twitch as well. Right now, you can see our ugly faces. I am your show host, Ryan Denton, and in the studio with me today is Bobby Doherty.
Hello, hello.
And Stephen Crouch.
What's up?
And you can see all of our faces right now. I'm sorry that you have to see this. Today,
you get to see Ryan's newly clean-shaven face for the first time.
Yeah. Yes, it's been almost 2 years since I have.
Do we have to adjust the lighting because there's a lot of glare off?
Yeah,
that whiteness.
It's pretty.
You are white as hell.
Yeah, thank you. You're white as well, Cracker. Now, today we will be breaking down and discussing Flash Season 5, Episode 3. Newsflash: a new blogger in Central City seems to have control of the news. Yeah. She was a little love.
She's hot.
She's hot. She's like fiery hot. Like, yeah. And what I mean by that, like a sassy little, you know, probably like scream her own name during sex kind of hot, right? No? Just me? Okay.
Is that what you do?
I do, yeah. I mean, I'm so good in bed that I scream my own name.
He jacks off well.
Yeah, with himself.
No. I do jack off, though, but not like...
Yeah. Not well.
Not well. I'm pretty bad
at
it. It's
horrible.
I haven't had much, you know.
I haven't came in years.
Yeah. Start using my left hand. This was a good episode. I liked the difference with the villain this week, or the, I guess we'll call it, you know, villain of the week, I guess, right? It was different. And I think, you know, and obviously we'll talk about this later, but I think it was a good change, especially too from, you know, worrying about the big bad kind of aspect of it. You know, yeah, it was part of the story at some point, but this gave us something, you know, this, I would guess this would be our first, I don't want to use the word filler, because there were still main story arc aspects of this episode, but this was pretty.
It was a little fillerish.
Little filler.
But we got that backstory that we've been kind of wanting.
Yeah, and I think that was the main part about this episode was that, you know, we got the backstory, but they gave us something different. Than just a standard villain.
Well,
of the week
I think what they did was they introduced a concept, and we'll talk about that a little bit later. But
the Stone Cold Hotties.
The Stone Cold Hotties. No, there was a concept introduced to this.
Yeah,
you know, this week that we've never seen before in the, you know, what, 5 years of Flash. So I think that's what they ended up accomplishing with this.
That makes sense. I'd agree with that. All right. So let's, now that we've got the casual banter out of the way, let's go ahead and jump into the news. We got a couple articles to talk about. Actually, some pretty big news here. First article, Flash's most iconic villains will return for episode 100. This is a CBR article. A comment from a past cast member of CW's The Flash suggests that all of the speedster villains from the show's previous seasons will return once again and go a few rounds with Barry Allen in the show's upcoming 100th episode. DC World writer Paul Edwards attended an autograph signing at MCM Comic-Con, which is in London. While there, he talked to the actor Tony Todd, who previously provided the voice of the Flash villain Zoom. During a conversation about Todd's acting, the former Candyman star explained that he had just finished filming episode 100 of The Flash, When asked if he would be reprising his role as Zoom, Todd replied, they are all returning, all the Speedster villains, and they all want a piece of Barry. Now, as I'm reading that, I can actually read that and hear Tony Todd's voice.
Hear his voice.
Yeah, I can hear his voice.
Well, the funny thing was, last week we actually went through an article where Abracadabra, the guy from Ant-Man, said the same exact thing, but not so confirmed. So it looks like we're going to get a big 100, which is what we want.
Right, yeah. It says, in addition to Zoom, Barry has also had to go up against, obviously, the Reverse Flash, Savitar, Trajectory, and the Rival. So, wow. Episode 100 shaping up to be massive.
I forgot all about Trajectory.
Yeah.
Like, erased it from my memory. I'm still bummed. When I was talking to Bob about this, I was like, I was excited at first. Like, oh, they're bringing back all these villains, but they didn't bring back King Shark, so...
Oh my God. How did I know? Like, dude, he was saying that and I could see it in his face and I knew it was going to lead to King Shark.
All roads lead to King Shark.
Why are you so obsessed with that? Like,
because he B-level looks character. So cool. It's not a matter of his notoriety. It's a matter of how cool and how much justice they did when they brought him to the screen. Like, something that we would have never thought, one, would have ever been done and two, could have ever been pulled off. And they did it.
But like... My point is that we're getting Zoom, Savitar, Reverse Flash. We're getting all the speedsters. And I'm sorry, Steve. I agree that King Shark looks cool. But if you're going to give me 100 episode with all the speedster villains coming back.
Okay, it's a trump card. I get it.
Especially Reverse Flash, dude.
Well, yeah. Yeah.
Right?
Again, if we don't get Cold and if we don't get all the rogues. To come back.
How bummed out are you going to be?
Very, because I don't like the way they were treated to begin with.
It was almost nonchalant.
Like, side characters or villains of the week. You know, I know Mick is on Legends now and kind of getting his just, but again, they were major characters that they were just kind of like, meh.
It almost seems like they just took those characters, you know, Mirror Master, you know, Captain Cold.
Like, is Mark Hamill coming back? That's another trickster, one that better be coming back.
It's interesting to me that they took these characters that, you know, they've turned Heatwave into someone we actually give a shit about. Captain Cold, someone we gave a shit about. It's become like this thing where, but they weren't, we don't give a shit about them as villains. We give a shit about them as, you know, these, you know,
side characters.
And it's like, damn, dude, like you've basically taken, you know, effectively these villains who, if you really think about it, the Rogues Gallery is probably, besides Reverse Flash, would be the Flash's biggest villains, right? So now you've effectively turned them into these side characters that we don't look at as villains anymore.
Yeah.
So it's weird, dude. It's weird. Like, yes, I want them to come back, but if they come back, they're going to help the Flash this time, not, you know, fight against
them. But again, if the way they bring them back is going to be more interesting than anything, and whether we buy it or not. Because right, is this going to be one of those, like, alternate reality, like, dream things that he's sleeping and... You know, fighting the bad guys that way.
Yeah, kind of like they did with Arrow.
Yeah, we're the same thing. Are we going to Nightmare on Elm Street this shit?
Dude, Freddy Krueger just shows up.
It doesn't say we're getting Hunter Zolomon, though.
No, it just... Well, Tony Todd's the voice for Zoom, so I would guess that we're going to get Zoom in the suit, not...
Not
actual Teddy. I can't even think Teddy Sears.
I was like, what the fuck's his name?
Now, if they were smart, they would put him in the suit, right? Same thing with Kavanaugh in the Reverse Flash suit, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's what we want, right?
Right, yeah. I don't know. We'll see. It sounds like the 100th episode's shaping up to be pretty badass, though.
Yeah.
So?
Do they redo the Reverse Flash suit so it looks like the new Flash suit and it's instead yellow?
Well, remember, the Reverse Flash suit was already from the future.
They should just redo it.
Because it came out of the ring.
Yeah. You think they should redo it?
I think so. It'd look way cooler.
And I would only redo it if you intend on bringing it back for season 6 in the future.
It's a good way to do it, though.
Don't waste the money redoing a suit that you're not only going to use for who knows how much screen time.
That's a good point, but you have to think, too, that the new suit is a lot cheaper. It's not leather.
Yeah, but it's like the spandex-y. The question, and Bob and I talked about this the other week, will he fill it out?
You know, yeah, I mean? Kavanaugh's like, pretty skinny too.
Like you have to fill that, and that's I think.
Well, Reverse Flash has always been more buff than
you can't hide it. Spandex,
yeah, you can't hide in spandex, and that's the thing. I think the reaction to Barry is it looks cool, but you see Oliver in it, and he just fills it out because he's just a jack dude.
Yeah, we're not allowed to make fun of Grant, okay, guys? We got yelled at by the girls because of that.
Okay? I'm not making fun. I'm just saying, like, he doesn't fill it out, and so if you have spandex as all of these, you know.
Yeah, I agree, dude. I'm on the same page.
It looks like the 100th episode will be the...
fifth episode of the season, right?
No.
It's like the 8th or 9th.
It's 8th or 9th, so it's right before the crossover.
Ooh.
Because I think the crossover is the 9th.
I hope as a 100th episode, it's not a throwaway, though, either. Like, some kind of throwaway, like...
Well, that's why I said they have to bring... They introduce some kind of character that puts him in a state to where he thinks he's battling. Almost like Arkham with the Scarecrow, to where he's running through.
What if it is
like,
Scarecrow?
So you think it's the trickster?
I don't think it's the trickster.
What if it is Scarecrow, dude?
What if it's Dollmaker? They're bringing him in. It looked like next week from the trailer. That's what it looked like.
I don't watch the trailers.
Oh,
yeah.
I don't like to be spoiled.
Well, too late.
Spoiler alert. Thanks,
just wait to walk to the studio.
Thanks, dickhole.
Yeah.
All right. Anyways, sounds like the 100th episode's shaping up to be pretty badass. We're excited.
Unfortunately, the next news isn't so badass.
Yeah, the next news is pretty shitty. So this one's from TV Guide. Prepare to see a lot less of Papa Joe on The Flash. If you notice that the season The Flash has been a bit lacking in good old Papa Joe West moments, you're not wrong. In fact, we'll be seeing even less of Joe in episodes to come for very good reason. TV Guide has confirmed that Jesse L. Martin is taking a leave of absence from The Flash this season due to a back injury he sustained during the summer hiatus. He ain't popped up anywhere. No. In the first few episodes of season 5, but due to his injury, he has almost always been seen sitting down. Now it appears as though he'll be disappearing for an unspecified amount of time while Martin recovers from his injury.
It's scary. Like, how do you do this? Like, especially after this episode. Now, I'm glad that this finally came out because it was weird watching him look like a cripple sitting in the chair. Like, you could
tell he was a cripple.
Like, yeah, you could tell that he wasn't comfortable in what he was doing.
He looked really uncomfortable in his face. He just looked really uncomfortable.
Like, what did he do? Did he just, like, was he... banging too many chicks and like throughout
the
his
summer
back. Yeah,
is he married?
I don't know. I'm just making shit up, dude.
Oh.
I'm basically putting him on the pedestal as Diggle, dude. He's on the same pedestal as Diggle is. You know, Diggle's laying pipe, so Papa Joe's got to be laying pipe, right?
I really don't care how he got hurt. It's just like after this episode, we saw them like introduce like him looking like he was going to have a bigger role with Nora going home.
Right?
Like, and how do you rewrite this to where it's like Joe's going on a police?
Seminar that he has to attend for 4 weeks.
Well, maybe you figure out a way to write him into an injury, like in the show.
Yeah, but if you write him into an injury, wouldn't he be at home being injured, or would
he be in the hospital?
They should just say that he hurt his back in the show, and then he's got an out, dude.
Yeah, I don't know. It was a weird link when the article popped up. I was like, oh man.
Yeah, that's rough.
Because Joe has always been like the kind of the beacon of strength, that level-headed dude that's always been able to give advice.
Well, he gives, yeah.
And to see him come through and
he looks so downtrodden.
Yeah,
he just
not like himself.
Because he's probably in pain, just sitting there.
Just struggling. He's on a struggle bus, dude, just sitting
there. They refilmed that thing 3 times because the first time he was on Vicodin and he was just like all high as shit.
He was drooling out of his mouth because he was so high. That's a bummer, dude. We all love Papa Joe around here. So the fact that he's not going to be around is kind of bumming me out. I wonder exactly what the extent of the injury is. I wonder if it's like a pulled back or like a disc or
probably
something.
Probably a slip disc or something.
Yeah. Well, they just released this. So I wonder, because they got to be getting close to the midseason finale because they're filming right now. They're filming the crossover, just finishing it up.
Right.
And that's usually a week or two before. So they just made the announcement. So you got to figure Joe's at least in the next 3 or 4 episodes before he gets written off somehow.
Right.
But again, they plan these things out. And it's just kind of scary for the show and the continuity and what they were trying to do with it, eliminating such a big character. Because, I mean, it was even weird for me this week when, like, where the fuck was Cisco?
Right. He just randomly gone.
Like, I don't like when they do that because it changes the dynamic of the show. And if Joe's gone for any long period of time, who is going to be that voice of reason? Not going to be the fucking Sherlock fuck.
Well, I was going to say, instead of Cisco, that's what we got. We're Sherlock.
Never mind. I'm not going to voice my opinion in that aspect. But I don't know, man. I don't know how you flip this to where it works for the show, but I guess we'll find out in the next couple episodes when he's gone and we don't know where the hell he is.
Yeah.
So
they better be smart with their decision.
I hope so too, but we'll see. With that, guys, that's going to do it for news this week. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk about this episode, season 5, episode 3, newsflash. But first, a quick break.
Come with me if you want to live.
DC on CW. We'll be right back.
The Rain Man Show.
The Rain Man Show.
I was surprised that they even existed. I didn't even know. I thought they went belly up years ago. I didn't know, right? Boy Scouts was still a thing.
Well, because how many people know how to do any of that stuff anymore? Tie knots, help old ladies across the street.
Every member of the kink community.
Okay. But listen, the kink community, we're not Boy Scouts. I guarantee it.
Well,
useless skills that you will never use in your life, except those lonely nights when you realize you're 40, you're a Boy Scout, and you're a virgin.
On your 48th camping
then
trip.
Then you're going to be tying those sailor knots on those lonely nights.
On that noose.
For more Rain Man, visit rainmanshow.com.
This is Star Wars from the Butter Tank Exclusive.
That thing's operations.
Return of the Jedi, or you, the last Jedi.
Why are you
Jedi.
Saying that you're a Star Wars fan?
You're not. If you don't like one out of those, what, 10 movies, roughly, that we have now? How many do we have? About 10?
10.
Yeah. If you don't like one or two out of those 10 movies, but you can still watch it and enjoy it, then you're a Star Wars fan. But yeah, if you hate on everything, and you always go back to New Hope, then you liked a certain set of movies that came out 40 plus years ago. You're not a fan of Star Wars. So just move on. Quit beating me over the head with your toxic, smelly dick. I don't want to hear it anymore.
I don't want to taste it. I'm sorry.
I don't want it.
Also, if you've missed our last show, you can also find us on your Stitcher app. Search Back to Tank. Add us to your favorites. Thank you, and we will see you very soon.
Have you missed an episode of DC on CW? If you have, this is what you've missed.
You know, Wild Dog won't stick around. You know, maybe he'll go off and do something else and go protect another city.
Yeah, well, I mean, yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll go mop the floor or something.
Why do you think we want Bobby back? Yeah. Like, why do you think Bobby's here all the time, Mike? Come on. We don't want the Mexicans.
We don't want the Mexican running the board, man.
What if Oliver just handed him a mop? Here you go.
He's like, here you go, man. This is what I trained you for.
Everybody else ring the bell. You just mop.
Yeah. Go ahead and mop this up. I'll get you some tacos later.
No, you bring me tacos.
Oh, right. You got to make me tacos. Would you trust someone that's your servant to make you tacos and not spit in them?
Make sure it's booger free, please.
Hold the boogers on that, or I'll put an arrow in your knee again, bitch.
The Kraken made it.
God.
And there was a little still or shot of Terrific in his costume. Now, Terrific's costume in the comic books is a little different. He's got a weird T painted on his face, and he wears this sweet ass leather jacket. I'm glad that they're keeping it close to the original.
I guess that depends. That depends on how they handle the big T in the middle of his face. It's very cool.
And I'm just going to say it. He's also a black dude. I mean, you're painting a black face with a black paint.
Oh my God.
No, I mean, that's just silly, though. That's just kind of silly.
That's good.
At least paint a white or something.
White face. Yeah. Is he a white? He's a clown.
I'm
now
being serious. It sounded bad.
What do you think?
It's going to look weird.
We might see return of characters, but one of the biggest theories that Bobby has is, could Tommy be Prometheus?
And that's been
Are you okay? Are you jizzing? Are you coming? Or are you, like, in heat? What is going on? Do not hit her with the impregnation arrow right now. She's in heat, guys. Yeah, totally.
Yeah, see your guns, bro. Yeah, I'm gonna come hang out. Yeah. You wanna bang? Like...
Check out the new DC fan show, DC on CW, covering topics from The Arrow, The Flash, and Legends of Tomorrow.
head over to RainmanDigitalMedia.com to get more details.
You're listening to Rain Man Digital's DC on CW.
All right, guys, we're back from break. We're going to talk about Season 5, Episode 3, Newsflash. This one was directed by Brent Crowell, Crowell, whatever. Written by Kelly Wheeler and Lauren Certo. Let's jump right off the bat and let's talk about Nora. First of all, yes, we know she's hot, Steve. You don't have to tell us that she's hot. But we also finally get an idea of why the fuck she's been such a... What's the word I'm looking for?
Bitch.
Thank you. Bitch to Iris, her own mother. Wow. I mean, I think we all had to kind of have an idea that it was something big, but...
Didn't think it was going to be this.
I thought it was going to be like, okay, so have we figured out how old we think Nora actually is? Did she say she's like, what, 16?
No, how old is she? If I had to assume, I would guess they're trying to peg her around 20, 21, 22.
I don't think we never got a confirmation for sure, right?
Well, you
got
to figure it's 2018
right
now. He's gone by 2025, but we don't know when she comes from is the issue.
Right. So
I would guess in her 20s.
So we'll just say 20. Okay. Now, when I was 20 years old, okay, I had, you know, every, you know, kid in their 20s has had some type of resentment towards their parents at some point in their life. Okay. It's what you do when you're that age, right? So I thought it was some kind of standard, you know, oh, I'm always around my mom because my dad's gone and she gets on my nerves kind of thing. Okay, fair enough.
I thought she was just overly protective mom, like helicopter and
even that's,
mom.
Yeah, even that's understandable, okay? Because, like, you know, my dad was overly protective when I was at a certain age, so it made sense. But to implant a chip in her titty... It was close.
Okay.
Let's just say titty. God, why you gotta? It's titty. Okay. Fuck. I'm trying to sexy this up. In her bosom to dampen her powers. That is some wicked shit, Iris. Like.
And it wasn't like they do at the vet where they put the little chip, you know, underneath the back. It was like a gigantic goddamn scar.
Yeah, right in her bosom.
So what, did she just like go into and slice her open with an X-Acto knife?
She probably roofied her own daughter, Cosby style.
Well, hold on. I have to assume that this happened when she was an infant or a very young child.
If you're an infant, the scar's not showing. Right. I understand that's probably being a technical thing.
Right, it wouldn't even be there, right?
Yeah, getting your fucking chest cracked open.
Okay, but it was a sizable scar, right? So I'm thinking she had to have been a young child or something when this was done. This isn't something that she did when she was like 14.
Okay, so let's look at this way. Look at Incredibles.
Okay.
And the boy and his can't control his speed.
Mm-hmm. Right, okay.
And... knowing that all the pain that it suffered from her, from Barry, and all the pain that his family went through and all that other stuff, would you try to mute your daughter so she could come up as normal as possible?
See, it's such a double-edged sword, man, because it's like she idolizes her father, right?
And that's the inherent danger.
And that is, you're right, that is the inherent danger, but at the same time, you have this child who's extraordinary and is extraordinary in her own right to have superpowers.
Mm-hmm.
And you suppress those superpowers because you're afraid that she might disappear like her father, or she might get herself in trouble. And it's such a double-edged sword with that because, you know, you don't know what she's going to do.
Right, and for you to preemptively make an assumption, because it'd be one thing if it was a very negative power, something that...
It can be.
So it can be.
It can
we
be.
We
if
know
she's
it
not,
can be if she's not careful and with the time travel, which she's already screwed that up.
But at this point, too, you have to understand... Here's another thing you have to look at, okay? She lives in the future, right? There's the Flash Museum, okay? There's all of these... articles and video and things that you can learn from the past. It's no different than a history book, right?
Mm-hmm.
So for her, and we don't know where Wally is in the future, right? Wouldn't Wally be around to kind of help her too as well, to come into her own right with her speed?
Potentially,
right? So we obviously, I'm spitballing here because mm-hmm. I don't know for sure where Wally is, but she's got all these examples of and people to teach her how to do it right. For her mom to take a preemptive kind of stance on that.
I think if it was a power that had more of a disposition to being used in a negative fashion, maybe. But I liken this to, you know, what if it wasn't speed? What if it was she was just really goddamn smart and she wanted to dampen the intelligence? You know, like.
Yeah, see, that's a bit that one I don't know. Maybe like, I don't know. I'm just trying to think off the top of my head, like a negative superpower would be easy to dampen.
Negative or positive, when you see somebody with the power and you've seen how Barry got it later in life and he was struggling, he still struggles to make right choices.
Well, that's right. But that's not because of the power. That's because he's just a defective human being.
And you don't think that's genetic?
It can be. It can be, absolutely, but it's also it's nature versus nurture, right? There's some learned behavior there, and to your point, she had this history museum at her disposal, or potentially Uncle Wally, or Mom for right, God's sake.
Yeah, say Iris probably had some.
Who could tell you, like, hey, these things happen, and this is the mistakes we made. Now, kids typically don't listen to their parents.
No, absolutely not.
In this case, I think you'd be more likely to listen if you're idolizing that person.
I think the tough part too is that we're speculating about something that would never really, obviously, is never going to happen. So it's like we're looking at it in a way where
it really has happened in some things. You remember there's tribes that like cut off
of genitalia
yeah. for pleasure. For women,
I meant superpowers. I know, I meant superpowers, and you have to think. Okay, I understand your analogy, but you have to think superpowers is something that's never going to happen in the history. So there's like we're thinking about it in a logical sense of okay,
women's sexuality is a superpower because we all do anything for pussy. So stop with that noise.
It is a. He's not wrong. He's not wrong. Mind control device.
Oh my God.
And if she don't like it and not willing to give it up,
you're hosed.
I mean, I can't argue that, I guess. I just think that this situation, I was a little bummed out. And the reason I was bummed out is because we've learned so much about Iris and who she is. And we've given her a lot of credit in the last couple of years and how much she's changed, you know, with the team and her character development mm-hmm. and understanding superheroes and why we'll go. Let's use Ralph, for example. OK, she helped Barry look past Ralph being a total turd and has pushed him in the right direction of becoming a valuable team member. So we've got that Iris. But for her to take a different stance on the superhero, now I understand it's her daughter, so there is a factor there. I get that. But to change the stance on a superhero is really weird to me, and that's why I was kind of like...
But what if it is, but hold on, it is, I agree with you, but now the more I reflect on it, again, Barry obviously disappears for whatever reason.
And doesn't know the dampener's in there.
Right, and so from a mother perspective, it could have been one of those things where that was the catalyst. Like, I'm not going to lose you too.
And I get that. That makes sense.
And who knows, maybe somebody was hunting speedsters.
Yeah.
And that's why Barry's gone. You know, we don't know why he disappeared.
Right.
And there's probably going to be something else to it. But we also saw her make that decision today. Like, I'm willing to shoot this bitch to get her off of my husband to save my family.
That's true.
That Iris has always been the one to make that tough decision, whether it was like, I will be bait for Savitar.
Yep.
I will, you know, do this stuff. She's always been that person that we've looked to make those tough decisions. Now, Barry's trying not to fight off his daughter, but she was there to be like, Barry wasn't willing to do anything to kind of calm her down, so she shot her. And it's just like, well, you know, yep, this isn't the first time. But I don't know how I could look at something that Ryan does in the future to me, and I look at him today and I get angry about it.
I haven't even done it yet. Where I was looking at it
too.
It'll
happen.
But that's where I was looking at it too, Bob. It's like, okay, so if I put myself in her shoes, so say for example, you know, in the future, let's just make this super simple. You punch me in the face. Okay.
You deserved it.
I probably did, but we'll go back in time. How can I go back in time And I'm looking at you now.
Knowing
that in like a week you punch me in the face. How can I look at you now and be angry? I mean, I can understand the thought of like, I think I'd be looking at
like.
There's
always going to be some resentment.
Yeah.
It sucks
because time travel is such a mind fuck. You know, it's such a mind fuck, and it's such a there's so many loopholes and things that make make time travel so weird. So it's like it's hard for me to look at it that way, especially too that this is your mother, dude. Like you and me, we're best friends. But like if my mom did something like that, I would be like, well, my mom hit me. I probably deserved it, first of all. And two, like, you know, how can I be mad at her? She's my mom. It's kind of the way I look at it. But there, like you said, there's always some resentment there.
So now, that resentment just seemed like she said it was like 6 months ago.
Yeah.
That grew fucking fast as hell. Because it's not like she's grown up with it for like the last 10 years and known.
Right.
She only recently found out.
And never asked the question.
She honed like, her powers really fast.
But you know what I mean? Like, why not ask the question first before you get angry? It's like, why did you put, like, why?
Nope. She took the dampener out. That's probably where the scar comes from.
She probably cut it herself.
Cutting it out. That makes sense. Yeah.
And then was like, peace, I'm out. And
she
and,
totally fucking Prometheus did out of her body.
Question.
Yes. You in there in the back.
Yeah. Is Cicada from the future because he cut out a dampener?
Oh. No, because that's
I don't know. I was just looking at the scar.
In the same location. No, because he's got some weird glowy fucking scar, dude. That thing's trippy as fuck, by the way.
I just was like, hey.
You know what?
It's a tough thing to say. But I just don't know. If you found out, like, wouldn't you go to your mom first and ask why? Like, why would you resent her so bad already?
Well, we don't know. Maybe she did, and there was a big blow up in an argument, and that's when she peaced out and went back in time.
I just think it was funny that she pulled the whole like, "But Dad, can I do it?" And then Barry's like, "Nah, he didn't. He didn't."
I know your mother. She's a good mother. Yeah. She did it for a reason.
There's no reason that she would do this to harm you or cause harm.
She,
to you.
She didn't do it for herself.
Yeah, I thought that was. That was big ballsy, Barry.
Well, in some ways, though, if our assumptions are correct, she did do it for herself. Yeah, she did it to save the child, but she also did it to spare her own loss. So to say that it's always altruistic and you're always looking out for something, at the end of the day, there's also your own personal motivations in anything.
Oh, yeah, of course. I mean, there's always a percentage in shit you go do that has to have, you know, if we all three go see a movie and, like, you know, part of me wants to go see it myself. Like there are certain things that you do that you're going to have like that, you know, reason for you doing it, of course. But I think when it's in a parental setting like that, you cannot blame Iris for wanting to do it to stop her loss. Like I get that. I get that decision, but especially too after losing Barry, and we still don't even know why he disappears. So I think that's still even the biggest thing that's looming. I mean, I know we talk about it and talk about it, but we don't even know why he disappears.
Maybe he left on purpose.
He was just like, fuck this, I'm out.
Yeah, maybe she just, it became too much.
He's like, there's a chip that my wife wants to put in me. Fuck this.
She wants to put a fucking chip in my chest. Hell no. She went Mom, Dad, Grandpa. Went straight to Grandpa. Was like, hey, Grandpa, can I crash here? You know, you got dilapidated Joe sitting on the couch because he's got his back hurting.
Yeah, I need somebody to sponge bath me. Yeah, she can come.
And I don't know, dude. I kind of was like, don't you think Papa Joe would know why she's there, right? Like, I mean.
But you always got to have that. A grandparent shouldn't take sides. One way or the other, they're
the grandparent.
Well, the
right?
grandparent,
they're like Switzerland, right?
Yeah, but the grandparent takes the grandparent's side and lets the parents fight amongst themselves, and then he or she looks like, you know, the good one.
The grandparent goes and buys.
They don't say no. They don't say no at all.
Correct.
Yeah. They're there to feed your grandchild, spoil your grandchild, and if they need help, help them. And like you said, let the parents go out. Now, and this is the funny thing is I make these notes and then the Papa Joe thing came up. And that's why I just think this whole thing, it could get weird now.
I think it'll totally get weird. I mean, especially knowing that they're probably going to have to write him off in some shape or form. And then for her to go to the house, which if he's, where are they going to put him where we don't see him? You know what I mean? Like,
it's, well, if they write him out, then they have to write
Cecile and the daughter. Baby. Yep.
You have to, because it.
So now she's just living in Papa Joe's house by herself.
Well, Papa Joe went to go get Cecile's powers fixed with a dampener.
Maybe their house gets fumigated.
Hey, look,
termites got real horrible.
If anyone needs
mold up there,
if anyone,
yeah, black mold, gotta get out.
If anyone would dampen anyone, it would be Papa Joe dampening Cecile, because he's about damn sick and tired of her listening to his fucking thoughts.
Stop running your mouth in your head.
He damps it every night.
Oh, he gives her the old pimp hand.
Yeah.
Oh, God. So let's not gloss over the fact, too, that we got the bombshell that Nora is into scissoring in this.
I did not gloss that over.
I'm sure you didn't.
I turned to the media and was like, is that?
So, Steve, you don't watch Arrow, and Arrow has Garo. Oliver's son is gay, too.
Yeah. William's gay.
How
old is that kid?
Well, they flash forward and we find out he has a husband.
Yeah.
And it just seemed weird. It was legitimately last week on Arrow. And then this week it's like, wait, she's gay too? It's like, is this like a future thing? Like is it one love?
He's shooting sperm arrows into his lovers. And she's scissor kicking, you know, everyone. It's like, okay, look. Okay, I'm gonna do a little rant here. I know, I get it, CW, that you want to be ahead of the game.
Diversity.
And you want to be diverse. And you want to be politically correct. But two for two? Two for two. Okay? Both of our major superheroes' kids are gay. Come on. Where is the diversity in being gay now? Is everyone gay? Like, am I gay? Are you gay?
Yes, you are.
Bob's gay. We're all gay now because it's okay. Like, I just don't get it, man. I don't get it. Okay? I can accept that William's gay. Have you seen the kid? He likes math. Okay? He's probably gay. Okay? Okay, I get it. Okay? He likes tests. He likes math. He's probably gay.
Are you saying if you like calculus?
If you're an academic, you're gay.
Oh, wow.
I'm just kidding. I'm just making shit up now. But, like, honestly, like, I'm perfectly fine, and I don't even dislike the way they did it. I mean, the way that they announced that Curtis was gay, totally, like, you know, super smooth. The way that William announced that he was gay, super smooth.
It's okay to be gay. Let's rejoice with the boys in the game.
Right. This is the theme song for this year of CW shows.
We're probably gonna get kicked off Twitch. I probably play this for like 10 more seconds.
Yeah, you might want to turn it off. But to make no, like, isn't that a little too much on the, like, right on the nose, dude? Like, I just,
so look, if you you don't, I know, but Bobby and I have been talking about this. You know what's been going on with Supergirl the last?
Who's gay on Supergirl? Supergirl gay now?
Well, no, there's gay and there's a tranny.
Yeah, there's.
I mean, not a tranny.
Wait, what? There's a
transsexual.
There's a what?
You got her wiener chopped.
You got her wiener chopped. Like in real life, it's a transsexual playing a transsexual.
By the way, only 4.5% of U.S. adults identify as a gay and lesbian. By
as
a trans.
Gay.
Really? Wait, what character on Supergirl is transsexual?
She's a new character. They just introduced. But where I'm going with this, so since the beginning,
she's
going
to be on both sides of the bracket.
I should be laughing at that's not funny. It is funny, wow. But it's not funny. But she's going to win, too. She's going to win both. Our first dual winner.
The dual winner. Since the beginning of this season, every episode of Supergirl has been highly, highly politically charged. And not just political politics proper, but just like anything that's a hot button issue. And this kind of falls under that umbrella, and it's seeping into every ounce the network right
was it
now.
like last year when they did the gun control episode?
Oh, it's that.
Is it worse?
It's that times 10. Like, it's been really over the top this year.
Did, like, do they just I don't understand that. I think
what you're seeing is a reflection in the writer's room and of some of the talent on the show and just the climate in general, what that's going on in the country.
I understand that. And I get
coming up
that.
On
and
midterms.
And look, I get that. I understand that. And I'm not making fun of gay people. I'm just saying that.
It sounded like you were.
No, I wasn't. Okay. If anyone knows me, they know that I'm about as.
I love dick.
I love cock so much. No, I just. I think it's interesting to me that the demographic now and the political correctness that we're going through in the United States has pushed us into, you know.
You have to like everyone, Ryan, right, for well, every
well,
reason.
I don't understand. It just seems too lazy to me. Like, they used to do it where it was like, okay, this character's gay. And I understand. Like, dude, it's 2018. It's okay to be fucking gay, dude. Like, it's all right now. People accept you. You are accepted now. And the fact that
– that's a bit much. They're not accepted.
You get what I mean. You get what I mean, okay? But to make two of the main characters, like, just gay, it just seems lazy to me. Like, it just seems super-duper lazy.
I just – yeah. There's no reason – it's not like Flash didn't have a gay character before. The captain's gay.
Yeah, yeah, you know, Captain Sane.
I just don't know why they did it.
Captain Cold.
Well, no.
Well, in real life, but not on the show. We're talking about characters.
Well, no, the second version of Captain Cold was gay, too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's right. That's right. Okay, that's right. Earth 2, Captain Cold. Yeah. That's right.
And so, I don't know. I think if one or the other was, I would have not been so caught off guard. But I was like, oh, shit, she's flirting. But both of them are. Yeah. Again, maybe in the future it's one love. We don't know.
Maybe they're pansexual.
Exactly. Maybe that's it doesn't possible. Matter. Everybody's fluid. Everybody just is in fluid.
Hey, look, dude, there were some fucking aliens in Star Wars that I would have laid some pipe on, dude. I'm just
Greedo?
Saying. Not Greedo.
but you could put your dick right in his mouth. Look at it. he's got like a fleshlight for a mouth.
The butthole one, too. I just think that it's lazy, man. It's lazy writing for them to do that, and it's not even a shocker, because after last week finding out that William is gay, it was like, well, okay, wow, okay, she's gay too.
I don't know
if
I'd say it's lazy so much as it just feels just overly.
It's forced.
Yeah, forced. Okay, that's much better.
You don't have to bring everybody's sexuality into every show.
I don't give a fuck.
Yeah, I don't care. But with Nora, I did care.
Why?
Because it's hot chicks.
Because it's hot. And the way she was, the way that she was like so enamored with the reporter chick, and then the way the reporter chick was like,
she's older than we think, because she seems experienced.
Yeah, exactly. And she was hitting on her.
I'm just saying, dude, the fact that Sarah on Legends is gay makes her hotter to me.
She's bisexual.
Or bisexual, excuse me. That makes
the character is?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, if she was in real life.
That's right. Because she was with Oliver.
And so is Constantine.
That's right.
Is he bi or is he pan?
He's bi.
I think he's pan.
Oh, is he pan?
I want to say that.
He'll fuck demons?
Why not? Going to hell anyways.
All right. Anyways, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about the episode and Sherlock. Take a quick break.
Holodeck 3 program is reinstated.
Open sesame!
Yeah, I'm just going to mind meld with you, and I'm going to take your thoughts. My thoughts to your thoughts, and your thoughts... Your thoughts?
Your thoughts.
Your thoughts to mine.
Well, just don't look into the corner where, you know, the fantasy of Guinan in my dark mind is right there.
Guinan? Jesus Christ. There's so many other hot women in Star Trek. You go for Guinan? Wow, David. Jesus.
Guinan was hot, man.
Whoopi Goldberg? What? Are you kidding me? She is so... Wow, David.
I like to learn under her.
Oh. You want to get inside of her skirts? Her giant Amish-like robes?
Like that's the thing. It's the mystery. What's underneath that?
I don't need to know what's underneath that. Michelle Forbes? Maybe. Dr. Crusher in the movies? Yes.
But it's the mystery. It's the mystery. Is there a big booty underneath
David,
there?
Some mysteries are better off. Never known.
Never known.
Star Trek From the Holodeck. Exclusively on Rain Man Digital. Go to RainmanDigitalMedia.com or Patreon.com/RainmanDigital.
End simulation.
You're listening to Rain Man Digital, DC on CW.
All right, guys, we're back. We're going to talk about some meta tech. We got a new, kind of a new bombshell, almost, or I guess new canon going through this episode of things ever since XS and Flash punched the living daylights out of a satellite. We find out that the journalist that XS or Nora wanted to scissor with has a phone that has meta tech attached to it. So now this is an interesting development, and we see them kind of play up with the fake news and kind of what we've been seeing in our political world lately. In the first kind of mentality of modern journalism with, you know, who's going to have the first scoop or who's going to have the first initial drop. Dude, if this wasn't like to the T on today's modern media and like politics, I don't know what was.
Yeah, forcing a story.
Forcing a story. And not only forcing it, but making the goddamn story happen. Yeah. Oh, there's no story? Let me fucking make a story here real quick. This is like to a T. Now, one of the things that I would say is Flash has been pretty damn good in the seasons before this to not get too politically charged. Mm. We've seen probably more of it on Arrow than we actually have on Flash.
Supergirl still takes the cake.
I'm sure it has. That's why I don't watch the show. But
so dismissive. They get, fuck that.
She's hot, though. I will say
that. She's so hot.
But
they're both fucking creepy. They feel like they're masturbating. Oh, so hot.
That's not how I. That's not how I jerk off. That's not what I do. When
you
I
don't jerk off with
it's
Steve.
It's more like done.
Yeah, just bang it against the book.
What book, though?
It don't matter.
The Bible.
Oh, is that where the term Bible thumping came from? Anyways, we just don't ever see really politically charged episodes on Flash. The Flash is typically, you know, besides emo Flash a couple, you know, season ago, we really see pretty laid back, fun.
It's fun loving.
And I think this was probably the first one. Now, this one I didn't have a problem with because I agree that this is the state of our our media in today's day and age. Mm-hmm. And I thought they put a nice spin on it with the meta tech and how she was able to actually make these stories come to life
with her iPhone M.
Her iPhone M.
For Meta.
Yeah. Wow. You come up with that just now?
I did.
That was really good, man.
Thanks. Can't wait for you to die of throat cancer, Steve.
Wow. That is so savage. Holy shit.
Oh, my God.
That's what happened to people that came up with eye product.
Oh, my God.
And he had pancreatic cancer.
Oh, is that what it was?
Oh.
Whatever.
It won't matter. I'll just eat healthy and lean like he did.
Don't believe in medicine. I believe in iPhones.
Oh, my God.
I'm more upset that I got the cancer wrong.
Yeah. You should have Googled your research. I just think that...
he's just making up news now.
See, he just did it himself.
Yeah, and I can't because my iPhone's filming.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Yeah, there's one giving me throat cancer right now as I look at this screen. I just think that it's interesting that they chose to go this route. I mean, I was okay with the way they portrayed it because I feel like it was pretty damn accurate, at least to today's media. But it is interesting to me that the writers chose to do something like this with, like I said, they haven't really ever done anything that's too politically charged, on Flash. Typically they leave that for Arrow and Arrow's kind of stopped doing it too as well. So,
which is ironic because the whole backdrop of the last season or so was him as a politician.
Right. And I think, yeah. And I think that they cut that out too as well. And I think, honestly, man, and I think Bob has said it best. I've heard him say it before. I don't watch these shows to see political messages.
No, I want to escape, goddamn it.
Yeah, I'm here to watch a comic book show, and that's the only reason I read fucking comic books was to read about, you know, a goddamn dude dressed in a Black Panther suit beating bad guys up. Like, I don't read...
These shows have as much effect on my political stance and my beliefs as people's Facebook posts.
Exactly. That's exactly the way it should be. So it's a little weird, but at the same time, this one was kind of like low hanging fruit. You know, I don't feel like there was too much, you know, on either side. I don't care what fucking side politics you're on. You can agree with probably the way they portrayed this. So I definitely didn't have a problem with that. They also introduced, and I said earlier, the meta tech that we've gotten through objects. It didn't, not only did the dark matter spread through people like we've seen where we've created new metas, but it also went through objects. Now, this is new. We haven't seen anything like this before, but the cell phone that she had dark matter in it.
Well, we didn't see it go through tech proper. We saw it go through somebody who could control tech.
Right. And that doesn't, that's why he got the power, was through that dark matter. So This is different. This is like if this iPad sitting in front of me here had dark matter built into it, I could do, I mean, I guess.
But it begs the question, if they don't explain it as the dude from last season had somehow
is
left.
Is it overkill, right?
Kilgore,
that's right.
If Kilgore had infected, if you will, devices or technology and left it behind, then you kind of have to explain, well, how come some things absorbed it and other things didn't?
See, the only thing that I would be concerned with is like, I wouldn't be making news headlines with that, right? If I had my phone had dark matter in it, dude, I'd
transferring
be,
money like a motherfucker.
Well, transferring money or a chick with a pizza would come and it's like super hot chick. And I'd basically have like porn would just basically come
like a reverse scenario.
Yeah, reverse scenario. Like she's not giving me a sausage pizza. You know,
she might be.
She's showing up. I'm giving her a sausage, not.
Well, it depends. If it's Supergirl, you might be getting the sausage pizza from the girl. From the tranny.
No, it's gone. She doesn't have sausage anymore.
Yeah, she's post-op.
Yeah.
Oh, but that's how she got rid of it, by giving it to Ryan.
That's not how it works, dude. Oh, my God.
Did they build another crutch?
Yes. I think this is. I was actually going to hit that. I think that this is an easy way for them to explain things and give them kind of a free pass.
Crutches aren't good.
No, it typically, like when I see someone on a crutch, I'm like, oh, they got fucked up, or oh, that's probably not good. So this is something for them. This is a get out of jail free card is what
it gives them more story opportunities, right? Is that what you mean by crutch?
Yeah, well, that's the issue, though. We don't want to fall into a pattern to where it's like, okay, well, we used to do a meta of the week, and now we're going to do meta tech of the week.
Yeah, so it's not exactly a meta. It's a person that has some meta tech.
And
that's
so
stupid.
It's like, is it the user now, you know, how do we track the tech or
so
whatever
it is? Do they take the tech and throw it in the pipeline instead of throwing a meta in the pipeline? Is that how they get away from people dying in the pipeline? Because they just throw the fucking, oh, this phone's got meta tech. And they just chuck it in the fucking pipeline.
Well, and it's going to, by that same token, it also becomes a writing challenge. Like, how many different ways can you write tech to tell a story?
Yeah, are we
going to
just get like some car is going to become Christine and you know, take over and start killing
maximum
people.
Maximum overdrive.
You know,
I think that it's too much. It's too much for them to add this. Now, if this is a one occurrence, which I don't think it is, but if it's a one occurrence and now the next villain we see is an actual meta villain, it'd be different. But this is too much of like I said, a get out of jail free card. We can't explain it. Oh, this Gatorade bottle has dark matter, and now I drank electrolytes with dark matter in it. Like,
only way I will be okay with this is if somehow as
a vibrator
part of
gets some.
That would be cool with Nora and that other chick. If they use this as the way to explain the Brainiac proper that I grew up loving. Not the Brainiac 5 and the other one that was.
You're not going to get Brainiac on Flash.
But if that seeps over via the crossover somehow, that's the only way that this will be okay with me long term.
I don't think that's happening.
And it won't, but.
I don't know, man. I think it's too much. I think it's a little too, I don't want to say far fetched because we're watching a show about a guy who runs faster than fucking, you know, like, but I'm saying like. It's too easy for them to explain something by saying, oh, it's got dark matter in it. You know, like that's just too much, man. Like I don't have any problem with metas of the week. I have no problem with that. So why not just stick to that formula? Like, I don't understand what they're doing with this now.
Well, because obviously they're running out of people, man. The book's only got so many people.
Well, and I think that's the problem when they made the meta of the week formula is that
you ran through.
We talked about it with the 100. that, you know, Mirror Master, Trickster, Captain Cold, Fire, you know, all those guys were major characters that went through huge runs, and they washed them out in a week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they burned through them.
And I think that if they had to start over from like Plan A, you might do mini runs, like we've talked about. We don't need maybe a big bad of the year,
but you
give us a big bad of five episodes.
Why not? Yeah. Why not do it the same exact way they do comic books? It's a 5-issue arc. You got 5 episodes. You got one villain for 5 episodes. Then you go to the next fucking 5-arrow, and then the last 5 episodes are a big bad.
Well, or just have the big bad looming the whole time in the background.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. It's no different than what they do with, you know, with Apocalypse or Darkseid or something like that. He's the one controlling these smaller guys, and then you get to the end boss. It's a video game, dude.
You just used the Battlestar formula, and it worked, right? You have your single insulary episode. You have your multiple episode arcs that could span 3, 4, 5, 6 episodes, and then you have the season arc, and then it all ties up like real nice with a pretty bow. But yeah, we ran through so many villains so quickly.
It just and Bob brought it up earlier that they kind of he I agree I didn't like the way they used Mirror Master and all them, so they blew through all these really good villains, especially the Rogues Gallery that are huge for the Flash.
Yeah, his Rogues Gallery, yeah. And now we're starting to pull, it looks like, from other
characters
because,
right,
you know,
I don't know, man, I just think this is a little bit too much, and I mean, we'll see. It has to have something to do with the season. If it has no implications on the season, then it was completely a waste of time. And it would be absolutely throwaway, and I hope it's not. Let's delve a little bit into Sherlock. God, that's so
ugly. Do we have to?
I really, yeah. And Ralph. Now, first of all, can we talk about Sherlock? Man, I am not digging this character.
No, he's awful.
I'm not digging it at all. And I love Tom Cavanaugh and the different versions of Wells that he's played, but this one,
it's not his fault. It's they wrote a character that we just don't like.
Right. Right. And I get that. I just, ugh.
Yeah.
It's not good.
No.
I mean, maybe he'll grow on us. I doubt it.
Well, and until you mentioned it, Bob, earlier, for whatever reason, I didn't even notice that Cisco was gone. It could have been the 3-4 glasses of wine I had while I watched it.
Oh my God.
But, this episode, Cisco was really replaced by
Sherlock. Yeah.
And
which, look, man, if you're bringing a new character in and you're replacing one of the OG characters that we all love to put in some fucking shitty French jokes, I'm a pass. That's gonna be a hard pass for me. But I will say this, him and Ralph worked pretty well together. This episode, finding more about Cicada. And I'm not gonna lie, dude, I was so happy when Ralph kind of like upstaged him. Like he kept giving him shit about the mask and like giving him shit. And then he found the thing on the ground. Like, I was like, thank God, because like somebody shut this dude up. And I hope it comes back too, because obviously when they got to the plant and everything, Sherlock was like, oh, we didn't find him because there's, you know, somebody, but like he's 10 feet away in that like booth watching them. I hope it comes back that Ralph gets some kind of glory on that. Like, you know, yeah, I did fucking find him, dickhead, you know, kind of like
put him in his place.
Yeah. Put him in his place a little bit, you know? As far as Sherlock being more manageable this week, I don't know, man. I don't know if this guy's going to grow on me, and like,
we need to see less of him for it to be manageable.
Yeah. I don't know. Bob, what did you think? Did you think he would like, do you like this guy?
No, not at all.
Okay. So we're all on the same page here. Like, and I think this is this kind of the way we felt about Ralph though, when he first showed up?
You did. I liked Ralph.
I hated
him. And I love Ralph now. I mean, again,
well, we all love Ralph.
We
said now.
The other week, like I would have taken the Andy Warhol version of the character.
Wells.
But, yeah, of Wells. Yeah. But instead we got this guy.
We got
the Warhol guy. I it would have been annoying, but it would have been, to me, more appealing. I think that's more of a stretch too, as an actor, to try to emulate that.
Somebody, yeah. I just think that obviously he's not there for he's not there for no reason. Like, obviously he's there for a reason. So which is every version of Wells that's ever shown up on the show has been there. There's been a payoff. Okay, we get that. Okay, HR last season, we understand. You know, Harry, we get.
It's still there. They've turned the wells into a crutch also.
Again, it's like, oh, we need wells here, but let's make it a different wells.
Yeah.
We talked about that last season.
It's just like, I don't like it. I don't want it. I would rather have dumbed down or two wells come in, because at least I like the personality of it.
Yeah.
The Sherlock thing is, I just hope it doesn't stick around all season, because it's pretty annoying.
I'd rather
it's actually the low point of the episodes.
Yeah.
I'd rather have HR back.
Yeah. Even though they're giving him like Ralph, you know, to try to balance him out. He's been working with Ralph and Cisco. He's been like fan favorite characters. But the detective thing for him just isn't working.
Well, like you said, it's a crutch now, dude. It's become a joke. You know, it's become a joke at first it was funny, and now it's not funny anymore.
Oh, you mean with Wells always showing up as some different version?
Man. Yeah, it's become a joke now, you know? I don't know. At least that's the way I feel about it. All right, let's talk about our final thoughts of the episode. Steve, why don't you go first?
I mean, other than the Sherlock part, I enjoyed it. I want to know more now than ever, this thing with Iris and Nora. I didn't think that we were going to get any insight as quickly as we did into what was going on in terms of why she was pissed. I'm glad that we did, because I think if it would have drug out any further, it would have got a little bit annoying, and we would have been upset that it was taking so long. But now I want to know, did she cut that thing out herself? When did it get put in there? You know, we need to start also understanding that timeline of when she was conceived and birthed relative to when Barry disappeared. But they're planting these seeds, and I really dig it. But I'm a little concerned, like you were saying, about the tech entering the picture and where that goes go forward. But all in all, I thought it was a pretty good episode, even though I fell asleep for about 8 minutes from wine.
I would agree with pretty much all you said. The Sherlock thing has been kind of weird, man. And I'm hoping that it has a payoff and there's a reason for it to be there. But I understand why they're pairing him with Ralph. I agree with you too on the part, you know, where this episode, I'm glad we kind of got an idea of why Nora was pissed off at her mom. Mm-hmm. If it would have lasted a couple more episodes, I probably would have got over it or been, you know, kind of just bored with it. I dig the idea behind the meta tech, but at the same time, I understand that it's become a crutch. So in this episode, you know, it didn't really bug me that much, but the more I thought about it, I was like, I don't know if we really need this, you know? I think the thing I'm the most excited about with this episode is just how interesting I think Cicada is going to be. And I mean by that he's becoming more and more of this enigma that I want to know more about. But the more you find out, the more like I don't want to find out, if that makes sense.
He's complex.
Right.
He's one of the more
complex.
Without
having to say anything.
Right. He's had very little dialogue. We've already found out somewhat his motivation. And he's more complex than what we've experienced than even a bad guy that lasted an entire season. And we didn't even find out their motivation until, you know, the last handful of episodes. This guy's more complex than a lot of that.
Yeah. I also, as far as the episode goes, I thought it was a very, very strong episode. I didn't, obviously the stuff that I'm just nitpicking a little bit, but the last thing that just bugged me was, as being a softball player, watching Barry play softball like that was probably the most hard thing for me to watch. That was.
So how can you be so capable of beating ass while running fast and yet
you are the most uncoordinated son of a bitch?
Couldn't catch a fly ball to save his life.
No. Terrible.
Yes, the most uncoordinated man alive.
Yes. So, I liked the episode. It was a good, strong episode for being, I guess, our first, I know, air quote, villain of the week. So.
For me, it was glad that they shut down the Iris thing so fast. You know, because if they would have played this up even longer, it just would have got drawn out and just felt like they're stretching a storyline. And I guess that's part of the pacing of the season, is knowing when to tell people what they want them to know. And they've struggled with that in the past, where we're just like, all right, we don't care now. Can we figure out the motivation behind it? And so they've done a better job, you know, being that, you know, we're episode, what, 3 or 4 now.
Yeah.
And we already know why she's there and what happened. You know, and it just opens up more storylines instead of them just being angry the whole time. So they've done a good job there. Again, the bringing the political thing in, it was, if you weren't paying attention, you probably would have missed it.
Yeah.
But so that was fine. It's an all right episode. It's nothing that spectacular.
Yeah, it's not a right home.
It's not the worst thing I've ever seen.
Yeah, it's not a right home episode. I agree. I mean, we're, like I said, we'll see where we're going. I think we're going to start getting in high gear here pretty soon, on what's going to happen. So, I don't know. We'll see. I'm excited. So that's going to do it for today's DC on CW, the Flash edition. Remember, you can always catch any past and future DC on CW episodes through the Rain Man Digital app. Make sure you follow us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, Twitch, all of the above. With that, guys, we will see you here shortly for the Arrow edition. And always, we'll see you guys next week.
People want cuddles.